I'm ready for the Russian ambassador.
Who did your makeup?
We went for something dramatic. Do you like it?
You look like a badger.
Oh. Are you going to cry? Really?
Well, what do you think you look like?
Badger.
Do you really think you can meet the Russian delegation looking like that?
No. I will manage it. Go back to your rooms.
Thank you. Did you just look at me? Did you? Look at me! Look at me! How dare you! Close your eyes!
Close your eyes. You wouldn't dare keep them open, would you? Queen Anne, played by Olivia Colman. Sarah Churchill, played by Rachel Weisz. And that from The Favourite, the Oscar-winning film, known for its quirky camera work, great performances and lush costuming. Three of the costumes from The Favourite, worn by Olivia Colman, Rachel Weisz and Emma Stone, are part of an exhibition currently running at the Hunt Museum in Limerick. The exhibition tells the story of the Irish film and television industry through the costumes that were worn in those various events, and it's a collaboration between the Hunt Museum and the Irish Costume Archive. Costume designer Eamonn Whale Downey is at the very heart of the matter, and she joins us now from our Limerick studio. I have the catalogue of the show sitting in front of me here, Eamonn. I don't even know where to start. It's like being given a huge box of chocolates. You think, which one will I eat first? It's yeah, Brie Larson's jeans and T-shirt from Room, John Ford's The Quiet Man, the John Wayne's bowler hat, Sean Thornton, John Wayne's bowler hat from there. I mean, how important was it for you, first of all, to even get this archive and get it out there for people to see?
It's hugely important, Sean. You know, the archive really stemmed from the Costume Mill in Dublin, which was a costume hire facility that was owned by Joan Bergen. And Joan had run the Costume Mill with Virla Dehane, who's my great friend and collaborator on the Irish Costume Archive project.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Costume Mill was slated to be closed, to close down at the end of 2018. The building, it's being developed, you know, they're building a hotel or whatever. So, you know, everything was, we did a huge stock take and, everything was about to be sold off, basically. And as happens very often with costumes at the end of productions, they're sold kind of piecemeal, or we have spoken to some costume designers who've spoken about, you know, stuff literally being thrown into a skip at the end of a production. So we just felt there was a great opportunity here for us to to start this archive and to really start kind of, exhibiting, the work that's going on behind the camera in Irish cinema and television today.
But even, I mean, the thought of, I'm still looking at the bowler hat from The Quiet Man. I'm thinking, did you get to lift that and put it on that? Because the history is written all over it.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. And the inside actually of that is actually what even more special, because on the band on the inside of the hat, it's has a stamp and it says the Duke, you know.
So oh, wow.
That's, yeah, it's really
so you
special.
Did get to lift it and hold it and
yes,
look inside.
Yes.
On the I suppose the fact that this exhibition is going on in the Hunt Museum in Limerick is very appropriate, given that the Troy Studios, you know, now in the old Dell building there. So, and you're working, in fact, as a costume designer on one of their new shows, aren't you?
I am, yeah. I'm working in Troy. I've been here since last August. I was actually born in Limerick, but I haven't worked here for 30 years, so it's really great to be back in Limerick.
Let's go to what I'm just flicking a bit further down into the catalogue, and I see in wonderful yellow the costume worn by Patrick Kitten Braden, played by Cillian Murphy in Breakfast on Pluto. And this was one of your own costumes.
Maybe, that's right.
Tell us the story. Was it the jacket that you saw first or the trousers that you saw first?
Oh, I saw the jacket first. It's kind of funny. I remember Neil Jordan, who directed Breakfast on Pluto, telling me that when during the 1970s he had a yellow shirt, and he was talking to me about his own kind of clothes that he wore in the 70s, and it seemed to be very colourful and flamboyant. And I just had, I went to You know, we spend a lot of time going to different costume houses looking for costumes, you know, especially for the extras. A film like this, we had a huge, you know, hundreds of extras to dress in 1970s clothing. And a lot of the costumes that we normally go to places like Angel's Costume House in London. And but when we arrived in Angel's, all the costumes were, they literally had... they were taped off. It was like a, you know, an accident. Do not cross this line. And they had all been set aside for Steven Spielberg's film Munich. So we headed off to Rome to some of the costume houses there. And on a hot summer's day, I saw this yellow rabbit fur jacket in a shop window. I thought of Neil and I thought of Kitten Braden, and I thought I knew Killian could pull it off. Yeah. And then we made the trousers to match that, you know.
Yeah. I'm so not sure if he was wearing that during this. Let's have a listen to the scene.
Okay.
Whatever he was wearing during this scene certainly caught the eyes of the gentleman on the building site nearby.
Okay.
About it, Kitten. What's the chance of a bit tonight?
Why, yes, of course, boys. I leave the front door open and you can all troop in and give me a job. Not up to it then, you innocent, shovel-wielding, horny-handed sons of the native sort. Not many people are, Munchkin. Not many people can take the tale of Patrick Braden, a.k.a. St. Kitten, who strutted the catwalks, face lit by a halo of flashbulbs as, ooh, she shrieked, I told you from my best side, darlings.
Cillian Murphy in Breakfast on Pluto there. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, if was he wearing the yellow costume in that or not?
I can't remember, but it's lovely to hear it again.
Yeah, it is great. And yeah. It really brings you back into the world of that book and film. I also, one that caught my eye, because every time I think of the film In the Name of the Father, you see Daniel Day-Lewis in that Afghan coat. But there's a great story, Joan Bergen was the designer there. There's a great story, not around the coat necessarily, but around underpants.
Oh no, not the underpants.
Yes, please.
But the underpants aren't part of the exhibition.
No, but tell us the story. Because that's what Joan's giving a talk and she's calling it, isn't she calling it something to do with underpants?
Oh, maybe she is, I don't know. Well, we have the underpants. Joan Bergen designed In the Name of the Father, and there's a fantastic scene in the film where Daniel Day-Lewis's character, well, Daniel plays Jerry Conlon, and he's walking down a street and he's stopped by, it's the 1970s Belfast, of course, and he's stopped by some British soldiers, and you know, they want to search him, so he drops his trousers and he's wearing leopard print underpants. Mm-hmm. And Joan gave me a present of those underpants. I'm sure she rues the day that she gave me those underpants. You know, it's at least 20 years ago, and I have them in a frame at home. They have been part of another exhibition, and a photo has ended up somewhere, and everybody says, what about the underpants?
Of course, yeah. You know, first question people ask. I suppose there was no worry about underpants when it came to Charles Knowles' costumes for Braveheart.
Well, the kilt.
yes. Seemingly Mel Gibson loved the kilt, didn't he?
Yeah, he absolutely loved it.
And you have that there.
We do, and that's actually from a private collector, as is... the Michael Collins costume and the John Wayne's bowler hat that we were speaking about.
Yeah.
But I worked with Mel Gibson about 3 years ago on a film. Mel Gibson and Sean Penn made a film called The Professor and the Madman, which ended up in a terrible legal wrangle and never really saw the light of day. But I emailed... Mel's producer, Bruce Davey. I was looking for copyright clearance. We've been very professional about this whole exhibition. I was looking for copyright clearance to use the poster shot. And Bruce Davey telephoned me one night. I was sitting at home in Limerick and said, Mel's just wondering where you got the kilt, you know. So there were 12
Wanted
kilts made.
And, oh, 12?
Yeah, there were 12 made for the production. That's quite common because, you know, you've got stunt performers and, you know, things, various
I thought it was that Mel Gibson wanted 12 made for himself. I'm interested in the provenance of others of the exhibition items as well. I love the story around the Brona Gallagher and the jacket and shoes that she wore
that.
And the commitments.
Yeah, it's so sweet. I mean, Brona is, you know, I worked with Brona, you know, she's just so fantastic. And it's just been brilliant in the last year to see her in so many fantastic... Mm. I just saw her in David Copperfield there last week, and she just lights up the screen every time. But this jacket, Brona wore this denim jacket to her audition for The Commitments, and the story is that the costume designer Penny Rose loved it so much that she asked Brona would she mind wearing it as part of her costume. And it's a denim jacket that Brona's mother had customised, and it's really lovely that Brona has hung on to this jacket and to the red suede brothel creepers, the crepe sole shoes, all this time. So these are kind of little mementos that she has kept, you
know. That's just some of the stories. I mean, there are as many stories as there are costumes in the exhibition that Eamonn Emile Downey is speaking to us about there this evening. That's the composite, the exhibition combined, along with the costume historian Verla Dehane, as Eimear told us. And it's called Best Costume Goes To. It runs from this Saturday coming until April the 4th at the Hunt Museum in Limerick. And you can find out full details on huntmuseum.com.